I'm going to be reading today from John 8, 1 to 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" Well, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin."
Good morning. If you would just bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, we just praise you for another amazing morning that we get to live in your glory here on earth, God, and that we get to experience the beauty of what you have for us, Lord, in this world. I just ask that our hearts would just be in tune with yours, Lord, and that you would hear what you would have to say to us, God. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just come into this place and that you would just drench us with your love, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, thank you guys for having me this morning. I was telling Judy this morning that last night I had a dream in which I was in the middle of my sermon, and then I all of a sudden wake up on the stage, and I'm like, I see Nate and I see Rich, and they're talking to the church, and I'm like, "What happened?" And Nate says, "You fell asleep." And I'm like, "Oh no, the service is over and I fell asleep in the middle of it." Hopefully that won't happen this morning. All right, so John 8, 1 through 11. That story has always been one of my favorite stories. It's been really dear to me since the first time I heard it. I've just always really said, that's one of my favorites. When people ask, like, which one's one of your favorites, I always say, the woman caught in adultery. And it's probably because at some point or another in my life, I've related to this woman. And to be honest, I really hope that some of you in here may have at some point in your life related to this woman too. And that might sound like a really harsh thing to wish on someone, for them to feel humiliated and ashamed and dirty and exposed and alone, to feel like an outcast. But if we're being honest, don't we know that that's where Jesus always shows up? So suffering is no joyride, and pain is no walk through the meadow. And a lot of you in here may be going through some kind of pain or suffering, and because of that, you might not like what I have to say about it. But I am thankful for pain and suffering. Don't get me wrong, I don't enjoy pain or suffering. Quite the contrary, my entire life I've avoided pain and suffering. I think we all tend to do that. But the reason I'm thankful for pain and suffering is because pain and suffering are the black velvet on which the biggest and purest and most beautiful diamond you've ever seen sits on. And like the velvet, pain and suffering and sin help make it so incredibly easy to see the rock that sits on them. And so in my life, I have felt like this woman. I have felt humiliated, ashamed, broken, dirty, alone, exposed. I have felt like an outcast. And then when Jesus came flying in with his victory, and when he clothed me with his righteousness, I was dumbstruck. Like who could ever imagine that? Who could ever imagine like to get the most unimaginable, undreamable, unexpected gift that you could ever imagine? And I imagine that this is what this woman felt when Jesus came and forgave her and stood up for her and loved her. In the story, the religious people come and they're saying, "Jesus, this woman committed adultery. The law of Moses says we have to stone her." And I can't imagine, but I bet that woman in that moment probably couldn't argue that she deserved any less than that. You know, she was probably thinking, "Yep, they caught me, and I know I shouldn't have, but I guess that's what I get." But then if she did think that she could argue it, I'm pretty sure it's fair to assume that she probably couldn't imagine receiving anything greater than what they wanted to give her, especially from these religious people. And I think that that's where today's outcasts fit in. They can't imagine receiving anything greater than judgment and condemnation from the religious people. This is why I am thankful for pain and suffering, because it helps me see what Jesus has to offer. It makes me see that I need it. And I haven't only needed it, but I've wanted it so desperately, even if I wasn't sure what it was that I wanted. And being with Jesus and getting to learn who he is and seeing the world and seeing its brokenness, you get to learn the value of what Jesus has to offer. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, and God's redemption. Now, how many of you can say of any of these, "Meh, I can live without that one"? Then how do we expect the people out there to live without them? We all know what it is to be in a room full of people and feel like we don't quite fit in. We all know what it is to be in a room full of people and feel like we don't relate, or we're just kind of left out. And it's not a fun feeling, especially if you're stuck there for a couple hours. I think most of us know, except for maybe Kyler Lehman over there, what it is to be picked last to play on a team or something. That's not a fun feeling either. They go one by one, picking one by one, and it comes down to the last two, and it's this guy or you, and it's like, this guy. You're like, dang it. And you walk to the team like, "Oh, man, we got that guy." and it's no fun. But Jesus has freed us of that, because the world wants to do that to us time and time and time again. It wants to make us feel left out. It wants to make us feel not good enough. But Jesus came into our lives, and he freed us from that. We no longer have to feel like we don't fit in anywhere, or we're not accepted, or we're not good enough. Because Jesus says we are good enough. And we've been picked to be on the best team that ever existed, Team Jesus. And so that's why it's so important to remember God's promises. That's why it's so important to hang on to them. I mean, I remember when I was in a school of ministry, that is the one thing that if I could define my whole time there with one word, it would be the word remember. I just kept saying, I kept hearing God say over and over and over, remember, remember, remember. And there's a point to that. God says it in the Bible time and time again, remember. And it's because he knows that if we forget, like, our hearts are not going to be in the right place. We're going to give in to fear. We're going to give in to these lies that the world wants to tell us. So it's important for us to always remember God's promises. And the biggest promise of that is that we have his Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. And so we have no reason to feel like outcasts anymore. We have no reason to feel like we don't belong or we don't fit in. That's who we're called to be. We're called to belong to Christ. And we're also called to help the others out there see that they can belong to Christ, that they can be on the best team. Last month, I shared with you guys a little bit about my friend Holly Krieger, who passed away in a car accident last month. And man, I remember I moved from California, middle of the senior year of high school, and I came to South Albany High School. That's where I went. And back then, there weren't as many Hispanics as there are now, let me tell you. And coming from a school in Los Angeles where there was every race imaginable, I come to South Albany High School where I'm probably one of two Hispanics in the school. And I'm terrified and unsure and culture shocked and all kinds of things that you can imagine here in what I would have defined as a sea of white faces. And I remember being invited by someone to a church here in Albany. And I went to that church one day, and I met the youth pastors there. The names were Zach and Holly. And that's where I met Holly. And that's where really my relationship with God really started, was because of this encounter with these people. And Holly just had a gift. Holly had a gift for seeing the outcasts. She loved the outcasts, Holly did. And I couldn't see it then, but I totally see it now. But Holly always saw me. And sometimes we'd be at a church gathering, or we'd be doing some kind of function with all the youth, and I'd be there, and being new and being unsure and being insecure, I was always kind of to myself and to the corner, and like, you know, and everyone would always go on, you know, and I'd just kind of be there like wallpaper just stuck to the wall, you know. But Holly always noticed me, and Holly always came to me, and she would always say, hey, let's go talk, or hey, do you want something to drink? And she would spend time with me. And truly, it was Holly's relationship with me that pulled me closer to Christ. Getting a little emotional as I'm thinking about it. As I was at Holly's memorial this last month, I went by myself. And while I was there, everyone was grieving, of course, you know. Friends were with friends, and they were comforting each other, and it was awesome. But I couldn't help but feel like I didn't have anyone to comfort me, you know, as I was mourning my friend. And there was a point where I realized that some of these friends that I was there with were the friends that I was in youth group with when Holly was our youth leader. And just kind of started to remember those familiar feelings of, man, I kind of feel left out. Man, I kind of don't feel like I fit in. And I couldn't help but think that Holly would have noticed. And Holly would have come to me, sorry, it's just still really fresh. Maybe I shouldn't have shared it. But I couldn't help but feel that Holly would have noticed, and she would have come to me, and she would have talked to me. And it was then that I realized, that's who I want to be. That's who I want to be to people. I want to be a Holly to people. And truly, truly, that's who we're called to be. We're called to make people feel welcome, to make people feel noticed and seen and like they matter. And that's what I loved about Holly. And truly, I really hope that we can all be Hollies, that we can all be Nates, that we can all be Chris's, just filled with Jesus. And so I think that what I want to share with you guys today is God's love for the outcasts. God, in the scriptures, you see time and time again, just Jesus loving the people that were least expected. I think of the time where, how scandalous it was when Jesus said to Zacchaeus, the tax collector, hey, I'm coming over to your home for dinner. And everyone was just like, what is he doing hanging out with? Does he not know who that is? And sometimes I think that we can kind of get comfortable hanging out with the people who aren't just like us. You know, hanging out with the people who have the same interests or the same likes. And that's all great. That's part of being in the kingdom. That's part of the community. But there's work to be done, isn't there? There's people out there that want to be loved. So what does that look like for us, for our community, our town, like even our homes, even within our own homes? How do we love like this? How do we be lovers of outcasts? God has a lot of names, and we call him God the Father, we call him Mother, we call him Redeemer. But one of my favorite names, it's always been one of my favorites, is God the Creator. I am just always blown away, and I go gaga for God when I just see his creation. Just fingerprints all over the place, it's all around us, and they're all within us. And that is part of the amazing design of God, is that we're all uniquely created. We all have different designs, different ways of functioning, different gifts, different just ways of loving people. We all know people who are just so inviting and so welcoming that, you know, they come in and come to my home and, you know, just feel at home. Or there's people who are just so compassionate that they can't help but act when they feel that tug on their heart. And then there's also people out there who are so hilarious, like they can just, you know, do a little twitch with their body or something, and they just crack you up, and you can't explain, like, you want to be that funny, but you just can't be, like, they're just that funny, and you just can't help but explain by saying, that's who they are, that's how they were made, that's how they were created, and likewise, everybody in here was created in some special way. I often think of just the different ways that I've seen people in here love, and more particularly how I've seen them love me. I think of Nancy, and Nancy has this awesome gift for making cards, and she'll make cards and she'll send them out. And I particularly remember this one time I was kind of in a low moment of my life, and here comes this card in the mail from Nancy, and it just changed everything. Nate and Kathy, they always invite me over to dinner, and I love that, especially when Kathy makes dessert. Yeah, I feel really loved when she makes dessert. Hint, hint. And then you have Andrew and Logan and Terrence, and if you don't know by now, they are some of the best huggers you've ever met. And I'm sure if you're needing a hug, they'll be happy to give you one after the service. But that's how God intends to move his kingdom. That's how God intends to call the outcasts. I think sometimes we're so stuck with what we're not good at, or what we don't have, or what we haven't accomplished, that we forget that God didn't call us and say, hey, your greatest commandment is to go to 5 years of Bible college and learn all the right verses and, you know, dot your I's and Q your T's or whatever they say. But God says, love one another. I want to read to you a few portions of Scripture. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I just love that image, the portion where he says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, because you love one another. That's how the kingdom of God is defined. It's we love one another. We love those around us. We love who we encounter. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, love the Lord. Well, this is after religious teachers had asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Which of the commandments is the greatest? And Jesus responds, love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I think it's so interesting that they ask him, which is the greatest one? Which is the greatest? And God says, well, love your God. But they didn't ask him which was the second. But he did feel it was necessary to say, but you also have to love your neighbors. You have to love your neighbors because it's just as important. Because that's who God is. We know that that's who God is. That's why we're drawn to God. That's why we love God. Because that's the God that we fell in love with. And that's what God calls of us, is to love one another. And so back to that, it's God didn't call us to memorize all the verses to be able to move God's kingdom further. I'm not saying that those aren't great things. They are. But God called us to love one another. That is the greatest commandment. And we all have the ability to do that right now. Like, you had it yesterday, you have it today, and you'll have it tomorrow, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You are designed the way you're designed, and you function the way God intends you to be, because you're fueled by the Holy Spirit. And so I guess I'm just wanting to invite you to step further into your relationship with Christ and maybe ask him, God, how have you wired me? Many of you might already know, you know, and some of you might be great cooks. Invite someone in your home. Say, hey, come have dinner. Some of you may know how to sew, you know, may know how to quilt, and there's someone who wants to learn. That's how you move the kingdom. Kingdoms move the kingdom moves through relationship. That's how God shows up. That's how God has always showed up. God has always shown up through relationship. So I know that it sounds like, oh yeah, that's so like that's so easy, let's go love everyone. And I know it isn't easy, and it isn't all ooey-gooey and mushy stuff. Like, this is pretty serious business to God. And I want to read a parable out of the Bible to you today, to kind of just show the importance of loving the outcast and the people left out, the broken people out there, how important it is to Christ. Jesus shared a parable in Matthew, and it goes like this. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty, and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats. To his right, the sheep, and the goats to his left. The king will say to those on his right,
"Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom." Enter? No? Yes? Okay. Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me.
Are going to say,
"Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?"
I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone who was overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me.
Then he will turn to the goats, to the ones on his left, and say,
"Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And why? "Because I was hungry, and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was homeless, and you gave me no bed. I was shivering, and you gave me no clothes, sick and in prison, and you never visited me."
"Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help?"
"I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who is being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me."
Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. And that, I don't know, I've always really tried to remember that portion of scripture in my life. just because that's how important this is to God. You don't need to go very far to find homeless people, to find broken people, to find people with low self-esteems, people without parents, or sometimes they even have parents, but they just don't act like parents. Sometimes there's people out there who don't have anyone to tell them that they're proud of them for accomplishing something. Sometimes somebody just wants to be heard. Maybe they don't even want, you know, an answer to something, but just to be able to be heard. And I'll tell you, you all have the ability to do that. We all do. I'm speaking to myself too, because I know I'm not anywhere near where I want to be on this matter. The outcasts matter to God much more than we realize. Jesus said, I did not come for those who are healthy, but for those who are sick. And I just want us to really remember that that is what we're called to. We're called to love. And like I said, you're all able. You all have what you need right within you. And don't be afraid. I just want to say, like, it's scary, I know. It's different, I know. It's not always going to be comfortable, I know. Like, I know, because these are all the things that come to my mind when it comes down to it. But we were not given a spirit of fear, were we? And I always like to think of just what it would have been like for that leper who Jesus touched. Jesus was not afraid, you know? And how would it be for someone, for us to love them like Jesus loved the lepers, or to love like Jesus loved the woman caught in adultery? Because Jesus just wants to pick everyone and be on his team. He's ready to pick them first. He's ready to tell them that he's proud of them and that they're beautiful and that they're great just the way they are. Don't forget to ask for Taryn and Logan and Andrew for those hugs on your way out. I want to wrap up by sharing a song with you guys. Megan and I had been listening to this song, and we just thought it'd be pretty cool and appropriate to share it with you. It's called Come to Me, quite appropriately. And I don't have lyrics to it up on the screen, but if you can just even close your eyes if you want to and just listen to the words. And some of you might be needing to hear these words for yourselves. But I also invite you to think of these words as Jesus inviting the broken in Albany to him. All you widows and outcasts,
all you betrayed and fatherless. Come to me, oh, all you lonely and all you lost. And I will give, I will give, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. My yoke is easy, and I'm meek and mild.
Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, God. And we thank you that you love us, Lord, as we are and as we come, and we don't have to achieve anything, God, to be loved by you, to be seen by you, to be noticed by you, God. Lord, I just ask that you would just awaken us, God, that you would stir our hearts, Lord. If our hearts aren't breaking, God, for the hearts that are breaking, Lord, just like yours does, God, I just ask that you would help us, Lord, that you would give us hearts like yours, that we may see those who need to be loved, God. Just ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, and just move in us, Lord. Move your kingdom through us, God, because you are able. You are so able. And we just thank you for your goodness today. And we ask that you would just be with us, Lord, as we continue on with our journeys with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.